I always wanted to walk up here with one of these. No. I'd like to welcome everyone here this morning. And there's a lot of people gone. There's a whole bunch of people traveling. But those of you at Golden Living joining us, we welcome you and all the others on the internet. The Haases, who aren't here today, they had somewhere to be as well. Dave Haas got the flower beds up there, so they are the garden beds that we were talking about having done. We got the dirt up there yesterday. They're on each side of the sidewalk they have in the back. Before, when they were gardening, I don't know if you've ever, having a bad back, I know when I bend over to do something in the ground, it hurts. Well, imagine being in a wheelchair and trying to dig and plant. They have a little garden back there for those who used to like gardening. So we built some garden beds that are raised 21 inches above the ground, and they're on each side of the sidewalk. So now when they do gardening, they'll be able to just wheel out and reach at arm's length and do their gardening. And usually at the end of the year, they have a big cookout there. They take all the vegetables that they've been growing and they make meals with it. They let the residents cook meals. And so if you have an interest in maybe helping them garden some, maybe they want to use your help, but it's going to be kind of neat that you're making little differences all along the way. And which leads us to Joe Gildow. Joe Gildow is trying to go to Golden Living now. Because it's very difficult to go over and see. I think you're watching this morning, Joe. Good morning. He's trying to go over there now. So that way he has more access to you. And then possibly as his recovery continues, his ultimate goal is this, his big goal that he has. And I suggest you pray for him for this, because this means a lot to him, and it will mean a lot to you. He envisions the day where he'll be able to be in here standing on his own two feet, or even in a wheelchair, to be able to attend worship services with you. In a world where a lot of people are questioning, why do we meet, when do we meet, we find people all over the world. It's not just here, but wherever there's Christianity, there's humans. And wherever there's humans, there's people sometimes, you know, trying to reason, you know, why is it important to come here on Sunday morning? You have a brother in Christ, Joe Gildow, that would give anything to be able to come and worship with you here this morning. Now, he's joining us online, but one of his goals he had from the time he had the respirator in and couldn't move anything from his eyeballs down. One of his goals that he had that has helped motivate him is he wants to come here the first Sunday that he can attend services here. He wants to be wheeled up and to go to the mic and to be able to thank you for all the love and the care and the support and to be able to worship with you on that first Sunday in person. And I think we need to view worship as things like that. We're privileged to be able to come together. I got a text message from Brian Dowler last night. He had the privilege of being able to worship with the saints in Tokyo, Japan. He said it was really neat. A lot of times when people travel away on vacation, they don't call ahead. And they call ahead for the hotel, need a car rental, want to do this on this day, this on this day. And they overlook, I can meet with saints in a total another location, worshiping the same Lord with the same heart and the same spirit. I would like to see someday, you know, us have a wall of bulletins that we can put up on the wall when you travel somewhere of all the different places where the Lord meets and that you've met with them when you travel through. I think that'd be a great encouragement, because part of Christianity is to stop thinking, well, this is the Lord's church, and this is it, and to expand our minds and understand that the church is not centered in Camp Hill. It's not centered in Jerusalem. It's not centered in the United States. It's centered in the hearts and the minds of the men and women who've succumbed to Christ by dying to themselves. And so that's not what the sermon's about this morning. That's your welcome. Welcome. Anyway, we have a special lesson this morning. Every lesson should be special. And the reason why I brought this staff up here is I used to like watching the old Westerns. I used to like watching, you know, back when we had three TV stations, I could tell you what was on all of them. And I used to like it when, you know, the scene, you've all seen it in a common, you know, maybe the Indians or cowboys were fighting it out or something. And when they had enough, what they would do is they would take their white handkerchief and they'd go ahead and tie this off. This is what everybody who was in a battle wanted to see. You know, they see this thing coming up. This is universal. When you held this up, it said, I had enough. Okay, we give up. We surrender. And it's just a hanky. You can use it to blow your nose, wipe sweat from your head. You can do all kinds of things with a hanky. A few years back, there was somebody who, they had some bad nasal drip. I mean, it was really bad. It was the kind where, like, you couldn't look at them. And I had a white hanky, and I handed them the white hanky, and they just, you know, had everything on it. And they went to hand it back to him. I said, that is a free hanky. I'm not taking that thing back. So you can do a lot with a hanky, but this is a universal, throughout the world, you hold this up. It says, I surrender. I'm giving up. Well, that's what this morning's sermon is about, so I'm going to use this as a prop. It's about surrendering. It's about the surrender of the Christian soldier, because we've been covering Philippians, and next week, we're doing what we did 7 years ago. The American Legion, about every 7-8 years, they contact the Camp Hill Church of Christ. They kind of rotate congregations. And since they have a Memorial Day celebration on Monday, there'll be a group of soldiers who are coming here to worship with you next Sunday morning. They want to come and join you in worship. And I think it's ironic we've been covering the military presentation of Philippians. And so we're going to be ending that series next week. And throughout this whole series, we've been covering the fact that the Philippian church was started in a colony for retired military soldiers. And there's so many references about the Christian soldier in here. Words that are being used to describe soldiers, about struggles, indeed true comrade. It talks about fighting it out for Christ. And that's not an alien concept to us, not only in Philippians, but throughout the whole Bible. We're soldiers of Christ. We've covered quite a bit. Well, this morning we're going to cover, beginning in chapter 4 of Philippians, the surrender of the Christian soldier. It was 9 a.m. September 2nd, 1945, on a battleship called USS Missouri, in a place of Tokyo Bay, Japan, the end of World War II. Millions had died in the oceans, in the seas, in air, on land. They had died in the jungles and cities, homes, public streets. And only about a month prior to that day, the United States had dropped 2 atomic bombs, which convinced Japan it's time to give up. It killed tens of thousands of people instantly. It was awful. And war is awful. War in a church or war in mankind, it's awful. It's always awful. But Emperor Hirohito and the Japanese people were done fighting. They said, that's it. There's no way we can win this war. We don't want to fight it anymore. We're done. And the word was sent to the Supreme Commander of the Allied troops, Douglas MacArthur. And the terms and conditions were written. The time and place were picked. With hundreds of troops aboard the vessel, Hirohito and his minions walked aboard the USS Missouri and carried out the toughest task that generation ever had to in Japan. Japanese are a very prideful people, And I'm not trying to use pride always in a negative sense. They were proud of their heritage, but they're hard workers. I mean, they really fought a drastic war. And to march onto that ship and to sign that document of surrender, that is a major act of humiliation for them. Great shame. They avoid shame in that culture, and that was very shameful to them. And but this day of complete surrender and ceasing of war was about to take place. Douglas MacArthur, the commander of the Allied troops, stood at attention as Emperor Hirohito came up. There's his picture there. He had his military garb, even though he was an emperor. He had his military garb with his sword on his side. And he approached the Declaration of Peace table. He read and signed that document. And reaching out to shake MacArthur's hand, Hirohito did not find an extended arm back to him. And MacArthur looked at the sword on his hip, and he looked at Hirohito, and he said, "Your sword first." And Hirohito took off that sword and laid it on the table. And then MacArthur extended his hand, and he said, "Now we have peace," and he shook his hand. The lesson is, we have a hard time surrendering. You know, that was a very humiliating thing for Japan, a very humbling thing. But not all white flags are bad when you're talking about a Christian soldier, and we are the soldiers of Christ. We have a well-known song in our hymnal, and we will sing that as our invitation. "All to Jesus I Surrender." The words of this song go like this. "All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. All to Jesus I surrender, make me, Savior, wholly thine. Let me fill the Holy Spirit, truly know that thou art mine. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessing fall on me. All to Jesus I surrender. Now I feel the sacred flame. Oh, the joy of full salvation. Glory, glory to his name." And the refrain goes, I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. And we sing that song, and those are all good surrenders. They're not things that we're ashamed of. We proudly hold that flag up and say, "Lord," and when you sing that song, imagine yourself holding up that white flag. But what are we surrendering to? See, we don't have carte blanche to surrender our soul away from God. We don't have permission to wave the white flag. "I give up on you, God." There are bad surrenders, there are good surrenders, and Paul the Apostle is about to unveil three surrenders that every Christian soldier must be willing to fly that flag in order to be the soldiers of Christ that we're called to be. You see, it can be a very humiliating experience for a soldier to wave that white flag. On the other hand, a soldier of Christ, surrender is not a humiliating experience, but a humbling experience. The difference between humiliation and humility is quite simple. Humiliation is something forced on you. Humility is something you force on yourself. And those surrenders are always good. They're a good thing. It falls under one of these three areas, Paul says. There is a white flag of personal surrender. A white flag of personal surrender. Philippians 4, 1 through 3. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way stand firm, my beloved. I urge Euodia And I urge Sintiki, who share my struggle, who live it to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true comrade, I ask also that you help these women who share my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow brethren, my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Now, as covered in the previous lesson, the greatest crown that we're in pursuit of is that crown of life, that mark of the prize, that upward call of God in Christ Jesus, which drives us forward, keeps us running strong. That's the real crown. That's the crown number one. And Paul made it very clear. Well, now Paul, the champion Christian, the soldier athlete for Christ, in this last chapter, referred to the members of the church at Philippi in this chapter as his joy and crown. His labors for and with the Philippians are worn around his head and surrounds his mind as his crown in this life. He's consciously making the decision to have them on his mind. We wear crowns like that in this life. These are just temporary crowns. When we're together in heaven, we receive the full and unblemished crown. And Paul's saying to them, he's having them at the forefront of his mind. You're my joy. You're my crown. I got this other crown waiting, and that's going to surpass that. But until then, you're my crown. You're my joy. All those things we've done together, we've been together through thick and thin. We've made personal sacrifice to each other. Paul's pointing out that there is a white flag of personal surrender. Who are Euodia and Syntyche? Like Lydia, they're probably wealthy women converts in the church at Philippi. Their names are Greek. And it wasn't uncommon, like Lydia, to have women who were strong in the church. They're not elders and deacons, but they certainly had leading contributions to the work in Philippi. And apparently their ministries crossed over. You have one person over here, they have a ministry, and another person has a ministry, and all of a sudden they're in each other's territory. And because they're human, they kind of had an argument about that. And Paul's saying they need to put aside, they need to surrender, wave the white flag. Say, listen, I surrender. I surrender, my personal surrender. I'm not going to get caught up. Life's already hard. Have you not figured that out yet? The number one reason I brought this up is because my back hurts. Okay? You thought I was just using it as a prop. After Friday's softball game, I laid on ice packs all night. Woke up and had 3 pounds of ice under my back. But life is hard. There's so many things coming at us. I mean, there is so much. It just drives me nuts. You get pulled this way from the world. You get pulled that way from the world, just like they were. They're trying to do the work of God, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when they compete against each other instead of with each other, Paul says, put that aside. Pull out that white hanky. Wave it. I'm willing to make a personal surrender. Wave that white flag of personal surrender. Give up on you. Surrender it to Jesus for the common good. And this surrender applied to all Christians, whether Euodia or Syntyche or Clement or whoever was in the church, Lydia, the Philippian jailer, whoever it was, we have to be willing. It's not humility. It's humility. And too many times we mess up. You know who you are and God knows who you are. God knows who I am. I know who I am. And I know what we're like. There's times where maybe somebody rubs us the wrong way in church. We say, how dare they do that? Now here we are fighting the same battle against the forces of evil, the common cause of the gospel. And what happens? Satan throws us off. He says, hey, look, Doug, over here. And maybe one of you do something kind of upsets me. And maybe I say something to you and then you get kind of upset. How dare he do that? And then pretty soon we escalate it. I know of a congregation in this state that recently had a split. And you know why they had a split? You had a bunch of people all fighting a war, but then all of a sudden they break off into two groups and they say, okay, you take that flank, I'll take this flank. And they forgot they were on the same team. And that's how it works. These things happen all the time. And unless if we make a conscious effort, you know, it's pride stands in the way. The middle letter of pride is I. Middle letter of sin is I. We get in the middle of it instead of working together. Then all of a sudden, you know, how dare they say that? Oh, yeah? Well, I'll fix them. I won't come to worship, or I won't do that, or I'll outdo them. We're not competing against each other. We're competing with each other against that which is not Christianity. We're trying to fight a war. We're wrestling against the principalities and against the powers, against the rulers of this darkness, of this world, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. And what Satan wants us to do, one of the three sins from the beginning, Genesis 3:6, 1 John chapter 2, verse 14 through 17, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. It's one of the seven deadlies, pride. And we say, I refuse to. Like Hirohito wanted to wear that sword because it meant something in that culture. I still got my sword. MacArthur knew that. He said, your sword first. And what happens? We start arguing. We start fighting. We start stepping on each other's feet. And all of a sudden, we get caught up in pride. Paul's saying, you better pull out that flag. I refuse to do it. No, I won't do it. Don't throw in the towel. Don't raise that white flag. And Paul says, raise it. Give up on yourself. How many arguments would have ended if just one person would say, listen, I'm sorry, please forgive me, but you didn't do anything wrong. So, you didn't do anything right either. You ever hear about righteousness, how God is holy and righteous? That means at his core, he's right. And if God says you're wrong and he's right, and you're not reconciling with your brother, if you're allowing your interest to cross over, if you don't wave that white flag of personal surrender, if you refuse to do that, we'll never win that battle together. We'll never take that hill together. Wave that. There is a white flag of personal surrender, and we must wave that flag. It's humility, not humiliation. And there is a white flag of emotional surrender. Philippians 4:4 through 6, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There is a white flag of emotional surrender we must be willing to fly. Paul tells the Philippians that they must rejoice. They need to see that gentle spirit that can be known to all men, that God is near, God is here with us, and that is so important. You know, we have to be willing to surrender our emotions to God. Too many times we get wrapped up in things. Anxiety is to never be part of our lives, of the Christian soldiers. But we're to be saturated in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. We're to turn that over to God. We're to surrender it. We're to turn our cares over to God. He wants us to have a certain peace that only he can provide. You can't order it on Amazon. You can't go down to Kohl's and get it on sale. You can't even special order it. You can only get it one way, and that's to surrender your emotions to God. You know, growing up, we didn't have phrases like panic attacks. We didn't have that. That's brand new. You people that came after me, you invented that stuff, didn't you? A panic attack. I was having a panic attack, and they're real. I had a panic attack one time. I was struggling with something, you know, and I tried to get my mind around it instead of letting God get his mind around it. And, you know, you go to bed at night and you're thinking about this. Oh, and I ran out of fingers on that hand. This. You start losing sleep, drinking more coffee. You start worrying about things. Emotionally, we can be a wreck. There are people here this morning that are human wrecks emotionally because they haven't surrendered to God. You might be worried about your job. Man, they're laying people off at work. What am I going to do? You might be worried about that big oil spot under your car. It's getting bigger and bigger. And you got to check it every 12 hours now. And you're putting Gordon's refined oil in it because it's so expensive. Keep that. You're saying, how long will it last? And you start worrying about it. We have so many things that upset the apple cart emotionally for us. That's where Satan wants us to be. And we try to tough it out. Well, I'll take care of that. I can think my way out of here. I can do my way out of here. That doesn't take care of the emotions. I don't know about you. I'm very involved in politics. I've always been involved. I watch them TV, and this stuff happening this week, wow, there's stuff going on everywhere. And I start thinking things and get wrapped up, and I get so riled up, you know, that my cats won't even come over to me anymore. And like it messes you up. And this moment brought to you by Nexium, the purple pill that heals the esophagus. I mean, we start worrying. It starts hurting. We growl at people. It messes us up. And you know what Paul says? Surrender. Surrender. There's a white flag. A white flag of an emotional surrender. We got to turn over to God. There was a song, I forget who sang it. I thought it was kind of neat years ago. It was like, Jesus, Take the Wheel. You ever remember that song? Pretty cool song. Some single parent mom, she's driving down the road and her car starts spinning out of control. And I think the basis of the song is, you know, that car's spinning out of control on the ice. She doesn't know what's happening. Is her and her baby going to die? And she just lets go of the wheel and says, Jesus, take the wheel. That's a surrender. And we have to be willing to surrender our own emotions over to God. And that means prayer, supplication, rejoicing. That means allowing God to take that brain that's all shook up and is turning into jello and say, God, just take it. Take it, God. Years ago, when I came back from Romania, an earache turned into pneumonia, and I was a one sick puppy when I came home. And I remember, you know, like 4 days I didn't really eat. I mean, I was sick. I mean, I was sick with two eyes in it, sick. And it was bad. And I remember when that fever broke, there were a bunch of people dying in the hospital, and I was too busy to die at the moment, and so that upset me more. And they said, we don't have a room for you, Mr. Hamilton. Take these pills and this shot and go home and rest. And when that fever broke, man, I didn't think a human could sweat that much. That was incredible. It was like somebody took a gallon jug of water and poured in my bed. And I remember, it was the worst night of sleep I ever had. And I remember laying there. I thought I was going to die, okay? And I had the greatest amount of peace come over me, and here's what led to it. Natalie was wiping my head off. She was only about 8 years old. And you remember that, don't you, Natalie? I mean, it was like everything's wet in the bed. She's kind of tending to me. And I remember looking up to going in and out from that thing. And I finally just said to God, okay, I give up. I'm ready to go. Okay, just take me, Jesus. Okay, I surrender all. Take it. They'll work out the details. Just take me. It's the same thing that people who really are terminally ill, I believe, go through. You know, there comes a time where, you know, we fight all of our life, and we're trying to live as long as we can, go to the gym, working out. We try to eat all our veggies, take vitamins, drink kefir, right, Ivan? We try to do everything we can do to stop that day. But then, you know, now Abby asked me the other day, you know, something about death. And she said, are you like afraid of death? I said, well, I think everybody reaches a point where, you know, depending upon how they go, they just say, come on down, like the price is right. Come on, I welcome you now. You can be suffering with pain, things, just your emotions can be a complete wreck. And you know, don't wait till that moment. Don't wait till that moment where God has you boxed in the corner where there's only one door, that's Him. He says, will you just please surrender to me? Pull that flag out now. Do it today. Is something upsetting you? Is something just tearing at you? Is your mind a mess? Is your heart a mess? Those emotions a mess? Don't let God force you into that. God says, there's a white flag of surrender. I surrender emotionally. And He says, just wave it. Turn over to me. And what's going to happen is that peace that I provide you through Christ Jesus, He's going to surround your mind and your heart. And you're going to have that peace which surpasses all comprehension. I mean, you can't even explain that. Somebody asked me one day, what does that mean, the peace which surpasses all comprehension? I don't understand it. I said, yep, you don't. You can scratch the surface and go, woo, man, that's great. It's like trying to explain heaven. I could do my best, and you could do your best to explain how great heaven is going to be, but eyes have not seen and ears have not heard of what the glory that God is going to reveal to us. Your best description. And you're going to show up. If I try to explain heaven the best I can, we're going to get up there and say, Doug, you left this out. I didn't know that. You left this out. I didn't know that. And that's with the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension. He wants that, but it's at the end of this. You can't get to that unless if you raise the flag and say, I surrender emotionally to you, God. Just take control. Take the wheel, God. And then there is a third flag, the white flag of a mental surrender. The white flag of a mental surrender. Philippians 4, 8 and 9. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence or anything worthy of praise, let your minds dwell on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. You see, just look at all the words in there. Peace, you know, that's the result of a surrender. And Paul asked the Philippians to surrender their minds to God as well, to have a mental surrender. There is a particular mindset of a Christian soldier. As Christians, we are to have a renewing of the mind, Romans 12, verse 2. We're to set our minds on things above, not things on the earth, Colossians 3, 2. We are to surrender the old way of thinking before we can replace it with the new way of thinking. Unless if you clean out the old house, you can't move in the new things. We have to have a surrender. We have to surrender the deceitful things of life and replace it with the truth. We have to surrender the dishonorable for that which is venerable. We have to surrender the many wrong thoughts and base our thoughts on righteousness. We have to surrender hateful thoughts and replace them with those things which are lovely. We have to surrender all those bad phrases in our mind and put those things which are good phrases. We have to wave that white flag of surrender. It says, God, take my mind. Lord, I know I shouldn't be having these thoughts. As a man thinketh, so he is. Have you ever thought about this? That behind every evil action that you carry out, at least all the ones I know, you thought about it already? You thought about it. I mean, you think it out. You know exactly what you just did. We have to surrender our minds if the bodies are ever going to follow. You surrender your mind. You start thinking on these things, whatever is honorable, true, right, lovely. You start surrendering your mind to God, and watch what happens. Things start falling into place. The body always follows the mind. Surrender it to God and watch your life change. So the conclusion is, we never surrender our relationship with God. There are some things we don't surrender. But not all surrenders are wrong. Back during Paul's day, as he's covering this epistle, this letter to the Philippians, with a military theme, soldiers all over the world are taught what to do if you have to surrender. Name, serial number, you know, just say this, just say this. They give them lessons on what you do if you're taken by the enemy, if you have to surrender. And Paul's no different. He's giving us things that we need to understand and surrender with. And the biggest surrender of all, the biggest surrender of all. You know, Lindsay's here this morning. Raise your hand, Lindsay. If you weren't here Wednesday, Lindsay and Mike were baptized. A few weeks ago, Cochise was baptized. You see, that's the ultimate surrender. You see, when somebody dies to Christ in order to live for him, that's a surrender. And there are people here who have not surrendered to Christ, and they're struggling emotionally. They're trying to turn things over. That's why we die to Christ from the beginning. So it's easier later on. We wave that white flag and we say, God, I surrender. I give up on myself. I'm going to die to myself because I know that's how the scriptures teach it. And that's why when you come up out of that water, you come up with a new mind, new thoughts, a new purpose, new meaning in your life. If you have not yet obeyed the gospel, or if you're struggling in your daily surrenders to God and you need help, do you need help holding it up? Are you struggling? And you say, Doug, it's just too hard. There are many people here who would love to take your flag and help hold your arm up like they did with Moses in Exodus 15. They want to help hold it up. So that way God says, now we have peace. Get rid of that sword this morning while we stand and sing.